Well then, this evening, as we've mentioned, then we're picking up this little short theme, this little series that we have on the crucifixion, but particularly looking at the sacrifice of our Lord. And we're reminded this morning that it's a sacrifice that's required. It's necessary. It was the only way in which the Lord could deal with those sins that we've committed. And because of his love for mankind, his desire that he should have a people who are brought into that living, loving relationship with him, then something had to be done. We are those who are guilty. We are guilty of our own sins. We are part of a fallen race of mankind that have sinned and fallen. Adam there in the Garden of Eden, as the one who is the representative of the human race, he brought sin to this world by his rebellion. And so we're a fallen people. And so something has to be done to bring about and to restore a relationship with God. And it required a sacrifice. And we might ourselves think, well, was there any other way? We're reminded this morning there was no other way that God could bring about that change. We have only to think about what sin is like just for a moment to realize that something radical, something outside of ourselves has to be done to put it right. A judge can't just simply forget the crime of the criminal standing before him. We were reminded of that this morning. And so it is that God, who is just and holy, has to be a justifier of those who will stand before him, but in a way that upholds righteous judgment. It has to be seen that he can't just simply ignore the sins that we've committed. Somehow they have to be dealt with. They have to be cleaned away. We have to be restored to be a right relationship with God. It's necessary that a sacrifice must take place. Of course, if you're only to think for a moment of perhaps the most heinous sin that you can think of, perhaps guilty of taking away the life of another. And you think, supposing you've been guilty of doing that, what can put that right? A sentence in prison doesn't put right what's happened, does it? You might be paying a penalty yourself, you might suffer the consequence of it, but you can't put right what you've done. You can never restore the life of the person that you've killed. And we need to understand that our sins in the sight of a holy God are like that. We might think of our sins as being of no consequence. Well, we can put it right by some good deeds. But think of them as a holy God sees them. Think of them like that, having killed somebody. You could spend the rest of your life trying to make amends for that, but could never put right what you've done. And that's how God it is, that God sees our sins. Before a holy God was perfect, he says, you can never put right what you've done. You could never live a perfect holy life anyway for the rest of your life. But even if you could you rectify the harm that has been done by the sins you've committed? In the sight of a God who's holy, you see, we are incapable ourselves. And so something outside of ourselves has to be provided. There has to be that punishment for sin, but something has to deal with the sin, has to somehow remove that sin. And the consequence of that, somehow has to put it right. And we go right back, don't we, to how God there spoke of the wages of sin is death in the Bible. And so that's the consequence of our sin. And we saw that this morning, that death entered the world. That we were made living souls, and having sinned, we're now dying souls. We're those who are dead in our trespasses and sins, and that life has to be restored. And because the wages of sin is death, one who is perfect has to come and to die in our place, to deal with those sins, to take those sins upon himself, and in a perfect way satisfy the demands of the law. And so we're seeing this morning something of that necessity there of a sacrifice to take place. And this evening we're going to look a little bit more at the Lord Jesus Christ, that one who was provided. We're looking at a sacrifice provided. How it was that God planned and purposed that this was the way that we should have our sins dealt with. This sacrifice, the one of the Lord Jesus Christ. This was a provision by God himself, because we couldn't provide for our salvation. We couldn't provide for any means to deal with this holy, just demand of God. God himself, it is who has made that provision. Now we're going to come and look at these, this provision of this sacrifice tonight, and the, perhaps the children, the younger ones amongst us might notice there are a lot of words beginning with P this evening. See how many words you can make a note of that begin with the letter P out of this sermon this evening. You'll be surprised, I think, how many there are. So we're looking at the provision of a sacrifice. And I want us to begin, first of all, with a provision that was prefigured, that was promised, that was purposed by God. And we need to go right back to the book of Genesis to see that. To go back to Genesis and chapter 3. Remember how we read of the account of the fall in the Garden of Eden? And there, as God pronounces the judgment upon the fallen human race, but also upon Satan himself as being the one who had beguiled the woman, then we read, don't we, in verse 21, that unto Adam and unto his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. What has taken place there? You just stop for a minute and think what's happened there. You remember what Adam and Eve had done when they first sinned and they tried to hide from the presence of God? They made themselves, it says, aprons of fig leaves. Tried to cover up their sense of shame and nakedness before a holy God with fig leaves. And the Lord God, it says here, made them coats of skins. That's skins of animals. A sacrifice has taken place here. God himself has had to slay an animal to provide a skin, a covering for Adam and Eve. Here is the first provision, the first prefigure, if you like, of what would one day take place when the Lord himself would provide a covering for sin, a sacrifice for sin that would deal with sin. And here, right back at the beginning, is God already explaining the need for a sacrifice, a consequence of their sin, is that death has entered the world. And it's by death that their sins will be dealt with. And by the slaying of an animal, the provision of these skins, we find then that Adam and Eve are clothed. But as we were reminded earlier on, and all the way through the Old Testament, when the sacrifices of animals was instituted, they were simply those things that prefigured, that pointed to the perfect sacrifice, the complete one. Because they had to keep on doing these. The passage you read in Hebrews 10 makes that point time and time again. They had to keep on offering sacrifices. Why? Because they can't take away sins. But they point to the need of a sacrifice, of a perfect sacrifice, but one that God himself will provide in the person of his Son. And so right back there, God himself has made this provision as he clothes Adam and Eve with these skins of these animals that he himself has had to slay. Earlier on in chapter 3, of course, we have that first promise of the coming of the Lord Jesus. And in verse 15 of chapter 3, we find, don't we, as here is the Lord pronouncing his judgment there upon Satan, is I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Here is something where the Lord is already speaking, right back there in the fall, in the Garden of Eden, the coming of one day, one who would finally deal the death blow to Satan. Would finally deal with that serpent bruising his head, that which would finally signal the end of Satan. Yes, Satan will bruise his heel. Satan will do his utmost to destroy the promise of God, the coming of the Lord Jesus, and all the things that surround his coming. Satan tried, didn't he? We know the accounts, all the things that he tried to destroy the coming of the Lord Jesus. But here's God's promise right back in the garden. One day a seed would come. One day a person would be born into this world, who would be the one who would signal that final end of Satan, bring about that restoration of things, that promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we can see that as we go through the whole of Scriptures, and of course we haven't got time to do that, but it would be a glorious study itself if we were to go through the whole of the Scriptures, looking at all those prefigurings and all the promises and all the predictions of the coming of the Lord Jesus. But there's one more that I want us to turn to in Genesis chapter 22, because this one is very striking, as we're reminded here, particularly again, of this provision of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the account of how Abraham had been told by God, tested by God, his faith was tested, he was told to go and sacrifice his son Isaac. He was told to go to a particular place, to Mount Moriah, and to sacrifice